County, Oregon is a quiet place. On any given day, the traffic from I-5 and the sound of tractors in the distance might be all you hear for hours. The county's known for farming, with fields and orchards covering thousands of acres in the Rogue River and Applegate valleys.
Jackson County recently became ground zero for an effort to ban the production of genetically modified foods. Opposing these efforts were some of the biggest corporations in the world, and politicians aligned with the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC. Genetically modified organisms, or GMOs, are generally defined as agricultural products which contain the genes of another organism, typically bacteria, that make it resistant to commercial pesticides or pest insects. GMOs have become a contentious issue, as some claim they cause adverse health effects, and that their propagation has negative impacts not only on farmland ecology, but on the surrounding community as well. A handful of localities in the U.S., in many countries worldwide, have banned them, but the transgenic agriculture industry and the chemical producers it partners with form an enormously powerful lobby that has fought tooth and nail against bans or labeling of products which contain GMOs.
In Jackson County, this became a reality in late February 2012 when farmer Chris Hardy discovered the presence of GMO sugar beets growing adjacent to land he was leasing.
Genetically engineered sugar beets were being grown just down the road across the street virtually from where we farm. It was right virtually on the city limits of Ashland, right out the back of the Ashland Middle School and a couple elementary schools, and I knew others in the community in the right down the street, you know, literally blocks away, that were saving seeds on beets and chard. So I knew that this would likely be putting transgenic pollen into, you know, not only local farmers' seed stock, but our own farms' seed.
Hardy soon found that Syngenta, a Swiss agribusiness and agrochemical company, had been growing GMO beets in the area unbeknownst to non-GMO farmers for almost a decade. GMO beets can pollinate non-GMO beets, as well as Swiss chard, and non-GMO foods are highly regulated. Their supposed purity is their selling point. So the revelation had impacts for those growing non-GMO vegetables. Eli Dimitru, a Jackson County resident who campaigned for the GMO ban, said that genetic contamination from GMO pollen could also lead to non-GMO farmers being sued.
All the genetically engineered crops are, if a farmer or landowner is going to plant them on their land, they have to sign a contract with the owner of the patent, whether it's Monsanto or Syngenta or DuPont, in order to get the seeds to plant them. The corporation that they signed that contract with owns that crop. They own the rights to the crop. You can't take the seeds from that crop and replant them. It's a huge contract that very tightly regulates the farmer and what they can do. And so, because they have patent rights over the seed. So if that genetic material from the seed that they own patents for crosses into another farmer's field, the court has said that company still owns the patent rights to that genetic material, even though it's invaded another farmer's crop. Those companies have actually sued small farmers for growing their patented crops when their patented crops invaded the small farmers.
Syngenta's sugar beets were regulated by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and required a buffer with a 4-mile radius be between their crops and non-GMO farms. Initially, the farmers and Syngenta tried to form a seed association to map where GMO and non-GMO farms could coexist. But the Rogue Valley, where Ashland sits, is only 8 miles across, making negotiations difficult. Syngenta, not wanting to divulge where it was growing, walked out in early June 2013. Days later, anonymous persons dug up a beet field full of Syngenta GMO beets in the middle of the night, an act which the FBI called economic sabotage. 6,500 GMO beet plants, which were about to flower, were destroyed.
The Jackson farmers decided to respond by putting an initiative on the ballot banning the growth of GMO crops. The measure, 15-119, now puts a coalition of farmers against state agricultural interests, sugar companies, and international agribusiness. Then the Big Six came in. The Big Six are six major agribusiness and agrochemical firms: Monsanto, Dow, DuPont, BASF, Bayer, and Syngenta. They are multi-billion dollar corporations who each have spent tens of millions of dollars in political contributions and lobbying. Together, they poured money into successful campaigns to defeat GMO labeling in California and Washington state. Monsanto would contribute $180,000 to the effort to stop Jackson 15-119. DuPont spent $125,000. Spending by GMO-free Jackson County would have easily broken records for political spending on a ballot initiative in the county. They raised over $400,000. In all, the opposition to the GMO ban raised almost $1 million, with the Big Six raising more than GMO-free Jackson entirely, $450,000. A glut of expensive political ads overtook the airwaves.
There's a lot of political bull starting to fly around Jackson County. Out-of-state chemical corporations aren't happy that the Family Farms measure would protect our family farms.
Genetically engineered crops are threatening Jackson County's family farmers. One gust of wind and pollen patented by giant chemical corporations can trespass onto farms like mine.
If Measure 15-119 passes, it would be very unfair to us as farmers who are trying to make a good, honest living.
Ballot measure 15-119 will be very bad for a lot of families.
Jared Waters is a Jackson County farmer who has grown conventionally as well as leased plots to grow GMOs. He supported the ban and said that the history of the Big Six inspired others to approve it too.
For a lot of the people, the reason they got involved was just the history of the companies that are pushing GMOs is not a good history. I mean, Vietnam with Agent Orange, DDT. We've got lots of farmers down here dying from DDT.
Waters said that his break with GMO farming was for economic reasons, and that his opposition to GMO crops is due to irresponsible growing practices by GMO farmers, which can place neighboring farmers' crops at risk.
You know, I'm not an environmentalist by any means. I agree with the environmental accountability, where if I destroy something, that I should be accountable for it, whether it was intentional or accidental. The term organic is, I think, something that should not be applied at all when it's GMO, non-GMO, because GMO can contaminate organic or conventional, but nothing can contaminate GMO.
GMOs also had a large impact on the state economy early in 2013. An anonymous farmer in northeastern Oregon had found an illegal patch of Roundup herbicide-resistant wheat patented by Monsanto growing in the middle of his conventional wheat field. GMO wheat had been grown for test trials in the region in 1994 and again in 2005, but was never approved or mass-produced, so no one knew how Roundup-ready wheat came to be growing in the middle of a field of conventional wheat years later. In response, Asian markets with GMO bans canceled purchases worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and Oregon's ability to export wheat internationally was in doubt.
Scott Dahlman is the executive director of Oregonians for Food and Shelter, a pro-GMO and pesticide lobbying group with representatives from Monsanto and Syngenta on its board, along with state and national farming organizations. Oregonians for Food and Shelter campaigned against the ban. Dahlman contends the ban will hurt local farmers.
Our members, actual farmers down there, either use the technology or want to use the technology and felt that that was at risk, which obviously it was, and now many of them are in a very bad situation.
On May 20th, Jackson County voters went to the polls and resoundingly banned GMOs with 66% approval, becoming just one of a handful of jurisdictions in the entire United States where GMO crops are banned. Josephine County, Jackson's neighbor to the west, also passed a ban on May 20th, but now they're most likely unable to enforce it.
Both Jackson and Josephine counties passed their GMO bans via voter-created and approved referendums, but Jackson County's GMO ban made the ballot before an Oregon law came into effect which would preempt it. 2013 Senate Bill 863 preempts localities from regulating agricultural seeds or any produce that would grow from it. When it was initially introduced as Senate Bill 633, its critics called it the Monsanto Protection Act and said it was a specific response to the two anti-GMO initiatives. Dahlman doesn't disagree.
It was a response to what we saw going on in a lot of areas. It hadn't really been considered before that local entities would start trying to regulate what kind of agricultural seed a farmer could plant. And so I think that Jackson County brought some attention to that, but it was a much broader issue for our members. As a statewide organization representing members all over the state, the potential for a patchwork of regulations was very, very concerning.
SB 863 was passed in a special session, primarily concerned with limiting public employee pension costs and funding education, where lawmakers were informed by Governor John Kitzhaber that he would sign all the bills he could compromise on or none. The result was last year's so-called grand bargain. ALEC is an organization that brings conservative state legislators and some of the most powerful corporations in the world together for closed-door sessions where they work together to create industry-friendly model legislation. These bills, once approved by ALEC, are then taken back to state houses by member legislators and introduced. In this case, SB 633 was written by a representative from Oregonians for Food and Shelter and adopted by ALEC word for word. In Salem, SB 633 was sponsored by ALEC member Senator Bill Hansel. The bill initially had bipartisan support, notably with Senator Betsy Johnson, but she would later vote against it after her constituents complained. Oregon Representative Sal Esquivel, another ALEC member, was the co-chair of the Agriculture Subcommittee of ALEC's Energy, Environment, and Agriculture Task Force when ALEC's preemption model bill was first approved. Jeff Case, Esquivel's co-chair and a director for Crop Life America, an agribusiness trade group, told a reporter that he couldn't remember who had submitted the ALEC preemption bill, but that it was, quote, probably a representative from Oregon. Dahlman said that his organization had no input in promoting the bill at ALEC's national summit.
I have read in some stories that it became part of a conversation there, but I am not familiar with any of the details surrounding that. We were not involved in that at all, so I can't say either way. I've read about it in the media, just like everybody else, but had no part in that.
Jackson County's GMO initiative won an exemption from Senate Bill 863 with the intervention of State Representative Peter Buckley, a Democrat who represents Jackson County. But the law was declared an emergency, meaning it went into effect on the day it was signed, October 3, 2013. The Josephine County GMO ban, which made it onto the ballot later that year, sits on shaky ground. Jared Waters doesn't think much of ALEC.
Yeah, I've heard a little bit here and there, and what I have heard is not good. They have the interest of corporations at heart, not the interest of the residents of and citizens of the United States and the residents of Oregon. But you know what? The one thing that I have heard about ALEC, though, is that they don't have the small business person's best interests. That they were formed by these large corporations and that their interests are what they care about.
Dahlman said that Oregonians for Food and Shelter are considering challenging the Jackson County GMO ban, though they haven't made a decision. He also said that he expects the court to strike down Josephine County's ban.
I think the courts are going to be working it out one way or another. We think that it is clearly preempted by that law.
Chris Hardy, the farmer who found the GMO beets in the first place, says that Jackson County's response at the polls should suffice.
It's, you know, the two-thirds of Jackson County citizens voting in favor of our ballot, of the measure 15119 should send a clear message to any politicians, legal battle that they're barking up the wrong tree. Our citizens in Jackson County and in Josephine County believe that protecting the future, believe in protecting family farms in Southern Oregon is more important than protecting the interests of chemical corporations.
Thank you.
This KABU Special Investigative Report is produced collaboratively by Mike Klepfer, Don Merrill, Sam Smith, Yana Maximova, and Sam Bowman.